This morning, I have a great honor and privilege to welcome my brother Theo, and he really is a brother to me. I must just thank Theo and his wife Lynette at the back there for the impartation that they had and the impact that they had in our lives. When I say our lives, Kat and my life, we started in Shofar Church, in the Stellenbosch Church, and we joined their small group. And it was really Theo and Lynette that spoke into our lives and encouraged us to do the spiritual growth series, encouraged us to do Bible school. Maybe there was a little bit of a more than encouragement from Theo sometimes, but he knew exactly what I needed to be spurred on. And I must say, it's because of the relationship. I know God could have used anybody, but God decided to use Theo and Lynette and Kat in my life to get us to the place where we are today. And that is pastoring Branch of Church. So, Theo, thank you so much for everything that you've done. Theo and his wife pastored the Somerset West Church, which is a very big and fast-growing church in the Helderberg Basin. And I don't know, I don't want to, maybe we'll share a little bit about it. But thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it, Theo.
Thank you for having me here. I feel a little bit like Koos Kombuis. I don't know if you know who he is, but his first gig, he was very thirsty, and all he could find was, he saw a Coke bottle, but it was just before he went upstage to go and sing, and he grabbed a Coke bottle and he took a big swig, and it was oil, and then he had to continue singing, and he did very good, but luckily he had something else to drink before, so that was probably helped him. I just want to pray. Our Father, we thank you for your goodness, Lord. I thank you, Lord God, that you are awesome, Lord, and that you love us, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that your heart is for every one of us, Lord God. It doesn't matter where we are, where we come from, that you are so excited, Lord God, for each one of us, Lord, that each one of us is a gift, Lord. And you celebrate us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your love, Lord. Thank you that you've paid the price for all of us, Lord, that we can have life and life in abundance. Father, we just dedicate this time to you, Lord, and all the honor and glory is yours, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, from my side, when Yanni and Kat came to our cell, we were Afrikaans-speaking cell group, and then we had to change to a broken English cell group because our English wasn't very good at all. And then I had to translate everything because no one else could speak Afrikaans. So it was very difficult for us as a cell group, but they really challenged us. And I remember the one day Kat said to me, "Do you know what it says in John 3:16? "Yes, so for God so loved the world." And but what does it say in 1 John 3:16? And we go, it says, you must die and because of your love for me. Will you die for me? And I thought, I won't say what I thought, but I didn't, at that stage, I wasn't ready to die for you, Kat, but today, I must be honest, I will die for you, for Jesus. My message is about kindness, and just maybe to give you an introduction, why kindness? Our church, I think the one thing that we do quite well is serving. And I think it's a little bit of impartation. I like to serve. I get involved. And we've got to build the church from nothing to church and then break it down afterwards again. But I've realized that some of our volunteers were heartbroken. They were like, "I'm not enjoying this anymore." And some of them started speaking to us. And I realized it was because of our hardness of heart to them. And they felt, "I'm not being appreciated." And I realized where it was. It started with me. Because when everything goes well, it's the church that do well. And if everything goes wrong, it's your fault. So I knew it was me. And I realized, it was my heart has hardened in a way. And I've not become as gentle as I should be because of Christ that is in me. And I've been, and I felt God gave me a word. He just said to me, kindness. Kindness. And I gave it to the staff, and we spoke about kindness, and we started praying about kindness, and God did a work in all of us, where we put up a banner, kindness, at the back, and then Hini came to preach, and he preached on why we have an evil world, something like that, and everyone said, what's kindness and evil got to do with one another? But we left it up there for about 3 weeks. And then I had the opportunity to preach on kindness. And then I continued praying on it, or preaching on it once or twice. And my wife would say to me, you know, you preach on kindness, but look how you speak to me. And I'm like, oh, God. And I go and repent again, because I knew my, you know, it's so easy to like take a deep breath and go into and speak to everyone and be very friendly, and then go home and then be in a miserable mood, and your children struggle and your wife struggle because your heart, because of who your heart is. So, but for me, how I got there, maybe just a little bit of background. Our eldest boy was very sick for a long time, and there was a time where Lynette and I thought, oh, it's not going to be, it might not make it. And we were on our knees and we prayed, God, as Abram gave his son Isaac to you, Lord God, on the altar, now we give Daniel to you, Lord. But then we cried. And then there was a long time that it was touch and go for him, and he had to go to the doctors. And I don't want to go into much detail, because I don't want the questions afterwards. It still hurts to see your child like that. And then right at the end, he had a hernia, and they had to operate him again. And it was very painful for us. And just people's reactions hurts us. How people treat you and how, the things they do and say, it's hurtful. And then there was this lady who, she was the second big miracle that I prayed for. She had cancer. Her daughter thought she had like weeks left. They asked me to come and pray for her, and I prayed for her, but there was a lot of unforgiveness in her heart. I prayed, and then I helped her through all of that, and then I prayed with her. And 6 months later, this woman came walking up to me, but this lady was in a wheelchair, and she was walking up to me, and God just completely healed her. And I was like thrown by it. My own father, I got a phone call, he's got 24 hours to live, I must come. And I was crying, my dad, and I'm praying over him, and 24 hours became 48 hours, became 2 weeks, eventually he came home again. And so it's that place where you go and you're like, oh, I hope God's going to come through for us. I wonder if he lives. And then he lives. God is great. And then you go through that quite a lot. And then there was a time just after this operation of Daniel where this lady suddenly died. It was like 3 years later, she suddenly died. And I was like, oh, very thrown. And they asked me to come and do the funeral, but I couldn't. I was away, quite far away from here. And then Henny did it in my place. And then 3 weeks later, my dad died. And I'm like, and it was heartbroken for me. And then a week after that, Petuma died. She was 30 years old. Her boy's name's Nelson. He's 12 years old. His wife, her husband, Nelson, is still in our church, like from Zimbabwe. And when she died, I mean, she died a terrible death. In the hospital, we went to her. She cried. She saw the demons run at a bed, and we prayed for her, and we really trusted God, because with all my heart, I believe God heals all the time. And now all the questions that comes after that. So, and then people are upset, and certain people are upset because of the way we didn't pray, and we should have done this, and we shouldn't have done that. And every time your heart goes, and your heart starts hardening. You don't realize it, but your heart hardens because of people's reaction. And then we started working through it, and there was this man, his name was Pastor Morris. He was a gangster. He was in Johannesburg. He was in part of the Russian mafia, and then he got saved. His little kid, 5 years old, started praying for him. Maxine, she's now 21 years old. And he got saved. And then he divorced his wife, and then he went back to her after a few months, and he asked her to marry him again. And then they went into ministry straight after that. And Morris was one of those men. He told me they would do an outreach in a township, and they would smoke. And then they go and lay hands on the sick, and people out of wheelchair stands up. And he says, God, if you can only take the cigarette smoke away from me, then more miracles will happen. And God took the cigarette smoking away from him, but the miracle started stopping because of religion that entered the church. So, but Morris was an inspiration to me. He would walk into Checkers, and then he will sing to all the ladies that in the toll. He will sing to them, and he will lead them to Christ. When we go on the outreach with him, I would stand speaking to him like this, and then someone will put, and then he leads this person to Christ, and he, sorry, and then he continues speaking to me. But I was Pastor Theo, and I said, please, Morris, don't call me Pastor. And he says, Brother Theo. Then I was Brother Theo for a while, and then we became really close friends. I became Theo to him, so that was a big breakthrough. for me specifically. Then one day, but we've done a few outreaches with him. The one that we did, just to add to what Niels was saying, the morning in the township, we slept over, dogs, it's chaos in township. Everyone is sleeping, is not sleeping except me, because I've got small little children. For me, it was great that no one was jumping on you, so I could sleep. No one else could sleep. The next morning, we woke up, and it's raining. It's really raining hard. And I'm thinking, oh, great, I can go home. And then the one guy says, he became spiritual. He says, guys, we must pray. And I'm like, anyway, so they started praying, and I'm sitting there in my sweatbox, tracksuit. And I think, guys, I just have to get dressed first before we start praying. But anyway, everyone is around me suddenly. We start praying, and the next moment, the Spirit of God came over me. And I'm standing up, and I'm thinking, and I'm prophesying to the rain that it will stop. And I'm realizing I'm standing now in front of, now everyone sees what I look like when I go to sleep, but I didn't care. And we prayed, and then the next moment, it stopped. And we did our outreach, and 2 o'clock, I said, guys, we better go back. The heavy rains are coming. 3 guys didn't hear us. When we came back, they were totally wet. But many people's hearts were changed. We prayed for many people. We had oranges. We'll go to someone and says, do you want oranges? He says, yes, how much? I said, for you, it's for free. And they go, really? Yes. Can I pray for you? I said, you know, Jesus paid the price for you. He's got a gift for you. It's for free. He paid a price for you so that you can have life and life in abundance. It took me 1 minute to lead the first person to Christ. Not because I'm any good. It's because people are so hungry. And when we go out and we pray for people, the one guy was drunk, but he was limp. And thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And Brad prayed over him, and this man walked away. He was still drunk, but he wasn't limp anymore. God just healed him like that. It's many miracles like that. The one guy I prayed for his ears, and I said, can you hear? And he says, thank you, thank you. I'm like, a little bit later he comes to me, thank you, I can hear. I'm like, really? God, when we just have to go and pray. God does the rest. It's so amazing when we reach out. You see mighty things that God does because of that. Now, my friend Morris, where I was going, I started cycling because I became really fat. So I thought I'd buy a bicycle, and I worked out with a petrol price. In 2 months, I can save R1,000 not driving with my bucky. So I can maybe in a year pay off this bicycle. So I thought, let me, at a pastor's salary, I'm going to buy this bicycle. Anyway, I'm coming home, and I'm really in a good mood. Now, all the bad things has happened, and I'm standing there, and the next said, Yaku wants to speak to you. You're Yaku, yeah. And I'm like, Yaku? And he says, Theo, Morris died. I'm like, what? He was working as a construction worker so that the people in his church can have a job. And he would not pay salary. He would rather pay salaries before he would buy food sometimes. That was the type of man that he was. And there was a place where he had to work. There was a 6-meter wall without a foundation. And he had to go and dig a foundation so they could build another wall in front of it. But he wouldn't let his guys dig the trench. He did it himself. And then the wall collapsed on him. And that previous night, I preached a sermon on the world needs a father. And I preached that men need to stand up to be the father for many young people. And I built a whole sermon on it. And me and this guy, Dion, and Morris, we asked if there's anyone to stand up. And no fathers came forward. But I asked if there are anyone who didn't have a father and you want to come forward. And all these young people came forward, and all the people, and we just laid hands on them and we prayed for them. But part of my sermon, I said, you know, we live in a generation of people who are orphans. We have a illegitimate spirit, and you can see it on the tattoos that we have, because years ago only the sailors and the orphan children would have tattoos. Today everyone has it. And then that next day at 1 o'clock, he said to me, hey brother, you say you can read a guy by his tattoos. I've got a devil on a motorbike on my back. And I said to him, I laughed, I love you brother. And he said, I love you too. That was 1 o'clock. 3 o'clock he died. And now I went up there and Vona cried. She said, go and pray for him, go and pray for him. Because he was the type of guy, if there was someone died and he had to do the funeral, he would first open the coffin and pray for that person because God could heal them. That was the type of person that he was. Now my friend is lying there in this blood and he doesn't have a shirt on. And the first time that I see the tattoo on his back, and I know that he would have laid hands on me. And I probably would have raised from the dead. But I didn't have the courage. I didn't have the faith to pray for my friend. And I think through all of this, one's heart hardened. I remember Pastor Fred still came through, and him and me and Vona cried. My whole shirt was so wet. And all these guys in his church, they've now become a show of our church. And we're reaching out with them. We're doing this outreaches with them. But through all of this, my heart became hardened. And then God spoke to me that I must become kind. So this is an introduction to where my sermon is coming. So I hope you, I don't like preaching long sermons, but I hope I'm not going to either this morning. But kindness, Mark Twain, maybe he said, kindness is the language which the deaf can hear and the blind can see. Princess Diana said that we must carry out random acts of kindness with no expectation or reward, safe in the knowledge that one day someone might do the same to you. And in this quote of Saint Basil, he was the Bishop of Caesarea, he lived 350 probably after Christ. And this is just my sermon in one sentence. But a tree is known by its fruit, a man by his deeds. A good deed is never lost. He who sows courtesy reaps friendship, and he who plants kindness gathers love. So when I was like wanting to get material about kindness, I just went to go and read up about it, and I realized that children are born to give acts of kindness. And when you guys go, maybe this is why my sermon is here before your outreach service, but when we give acts of kindness, we actually unlearn our children to give kindness. We teach them to receive kindness because we give it to them, but we never teach our children to go out and give kindness. And children who give kindness are more likely to be happy, to have good friendship, less likely to be bullies. They will have an increase in well-being, health, popularity, and acceptance amongst peers. They will be more positive, and they will probably have a higher academic achievement as well. And you're more likely to get Alzheimer's disease if you are a kind person. So those are scientific facts that I found on the internet about kindness. But this one guy on smiling, he said that he did research, and he said he looked at very famous people at their yearbooks, and you are more likely to be successful if you smile. You are more likely to be perceived pretty when you smile. You are more likely to be appointed if you smile. You are more likely to be promoted, and that people will think you are more professional, the ones who smile. So I realize there's something about kindness. And for you English guys, please pray for us as Afrikaners, because there's no word as kindness in Afrikaans. It's translated as friendliness. So now this explains everything. So that's where our big problem is. We must boil that into Afrikaans. But you know, for me, God is good all the time. And this is something that you must know in your heart, that God is good. God is good. The Lord is gracious. He's merciful. He's slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and His mercy is over all that He has made. But we must believe that God is good. It doesn't matter what you've gone through, where you're going, that God is good. And if you don't understand it, just don't say it's God's fault. There's other factors as well. There are many other factors, but we have to believe that God is good because the Bible says so. And if you, when you start doubting in the goodness of God, you're going to really take strain. You have to believe. And if it's difficult for you, you have to declare it. Maybe someone has to repent that because you doubt the goodness of God. But God is good all the time. In a township, when you say God is good, the guys go, all the time. God is good all the time. Amen. So God is good all the time. God's kindness is meant to lead to repentance. People don't repent, turn to God because we tell them they're going to go to hell. They come to God because He's kind, because God is good. When people realize how good God is, they just, you want more of God. The more you meet God, the more you want who He is. The more you meet Jesus, the more you fall in love with Him, the more you're inspired. Don't go on this outreach if you feel condemned. Then rather stay at home. If you want to meet God, just go with and look. But don't do anything. God is not pleased when we do things and we don't feel like it. We must do things because we are compelled by His love. Because you understand His love for us. Then go. And this is something that I've realized in my life. We many times, and I've made that mistake. I come with a sermon and I give the sermon and then people must do stuff. And that's wrong. God just says, come to me. He wants people to come to Him because He is good. And His kindness leads to repentance. And I've wants us, thank you, Yami. Thank you. God wants us to represent Him. Jesus said, I do what the Father do. And if you want to know who I am, who the Father is, look at me. Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So don't imitate me. Imitate me as I imitate Christ, because we want to become like Christ. So God wants us to be like He is. And God is kind, so He wants us to be kind. And I realize that God is serious about this, that He wants us to be kind. And many times we say to one another, oh, I'm taking persecution at work. I'm taking persecution from my family. I'm taking so much persecution. People don't like me, but it's because my spirit clashes with their spirit. But they don't have the full truth, and we're very hard. And in Acts 2, verse 47, it says that believers had favor with all the people. The believers in the early church, because they were filled with the Spirit of God, had favor with all the people. Jesus Christ had favor with God and with man. If we are kind, people will love us. They will not maybe agree with what we stand for, but they will love us. If we live according to the goodness of God and we are good as God is good, people will be attracted to us. We will get promoted. If we have the smiles, science says it, we will get the promotions. We'll get the friends. We'll be accepted because of our hearts, the way we speak and be to people around us. Now, it is. I had a clip to show you, and I actually forgot to show the clip. Maybe I'm going to show it at the end. But I realized that when we talk about kindness, we go to Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit, that says that this fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, and right in the middle is kindness. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. For me, that was a flag, because I realized I did not have kindness. I don't have the Spirit, because the fruit is not manifesting in my life. It's not one, it's all of them. We must have all of them. But I realized the kindness, I was lacking completely. I had to spend more time with God. I had to come back with that relationship, that intimate relationship with God, because there was definitely not fruit in my life. And you know, Romans 11 verse 22 says, note the kindness and the severity of God. Severity to those who have fallen, but kindness to you, provided you continue in His kindness. Otherwise you will do the cut off. So I'm seeing God wants us to be kind. God wants me to be kind. If I'm not kind, God's going to cut me off. And I must be honest with you, I experienced the cutting off a little bit from God. And it's not nice. And I had to go back to God and repent because of my wicked ways. And from that I saw that God, when we look at fruit, and I started just looking at what fruit was saying. And John 15 talks about the fruit. If we abide in Christ and He in us, we will bear much fruit. And if there's no fruit, then He cuts the branches off and He throws them away. But without Christ, we cannot do this. So what I just want to say, kindness cannot come because you try to be kind. It can only come because you abide in Christ. You come to Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? You can't in your own strength be kind. It's very difficult. Especially when you're under pressure, it's very difficult to become all those things. So John 15 verse 4 says that if we don't, we cannot bear fruit by itself unless we abide in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. Then it continues, John 15 says that we must abide in him and he in us so that we bear much fruit. If we don't have the fruit, God comes and he prunes us. And what I'm seeing from pruning, many people just pray for me because I don't want to be pruned. We are going to be pruned. It's going to happen. But Saul, the difference, Andres had the sermon on the scripture as well, that he said the difference between pruning and cutting is that much. It feels the same, it looks the same, it's painful, but we must learn to rejoice. When all of this, one of my friends said to me, you know, I was crying when Daniel had to go for his hernia operation, then I lost it. And he said, you know, now's the time to rejoice. You must praise God now. And I almost punched him out. But I'm the pastor, I can't. So I was very angry with him. Then he gave me a book, From Prison to Praise. It changed my life. And when I read it, and I said, Lord, I know you don't give sickness. I don't understand what happened, but I thank you that I'm going through persecution, that I'm learning, that my character is being built. So when we go through pruning, rejoice in God, because our character is being formed in this. Now, verse 7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. So part of this pruning, we come to a place where we ask God whatever we wish and it will be done for us. Have you prayed for someone who has died? Because he says, whatever you wish, it will be done for us. So there's something that I believe we as Christians miss in a way. And then verse 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. We are not God's disciples because of our gifts. We are his disciples because of the fruit that we have. With me, I wasn't, because there was no kindness in my life. God is serious about our character. I really believe character is so important to God, more than gifts. You can be this massive prophet and pray for people, but if you don't have the character, it means nothing. 1 Corinthians 13 says it clearly. If we can speak in tongues and we can lay hands on the sick and we can prophesy, but we don't have love, if we don't have character, if we don't have kindness, those things means nothing. Then, because love is patient and it's kind, it says in verse 4, it doesn't envy, it doesn't boast, it's not arrogant, it's not rude, it bears all things, it believes all things, it hopes all things, it loves all things. But this is a place of abiding in Christ. We cannot do this in our own strength, especially when you're under pressure and it seems like everyone is knocking you from. Fred is knocking you from the top, the congregants from the bottom, your friends from the side, your family, and then everything goes wrong. You can't not be kind if that happens to you all the time. You have to stay and be in with Christ. But, you know, when you look at the fruit as well in Matthew 7, Jesus talks about the Beatitudes, and he says we mustn't judge one another and we must walk holy lives. And he talks about eternity, that there's a narrow road and that there's a wide road that leads to destruction, but the narrow road leads to him. And then he says to us, but there will be false prophets, and there are many false prophets that come and do great healings and miracles, but we will prove we are his disciples by the fruit, not by the gift. So don't get deceived. When you see miracles, look at the fruit of who a person is. And then Jesus says, you will recognize them by their fruit. So by our fruit, we will be known and we will prove whether we are disciples of Jesus or not. Every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot have bad fruit, and a diseased tree cannot have good fruit. Then when you go, then in Luke 6, it the same scripture, Jesus, with the Beatitudes, he says, we must love our enemies, we must do good, we must lend, don't expect anything in return. So he looks at the attitude of our hearts. He says, your reward will be great, and for God is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful as your Father is merciful, give and will be given to you. And then he continues with the fruit thing. And he says, for no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. So Luke is talking about the same thing. If the tree is good, the fruit is good. If the tree is bad, the fruit is bad. Verse 44 says, "For each tree is known by its own fruit. A fig cannot be gathered from thorn bushes, nor grapes from a bramble bush. The good person, out of the good treasure of his heart, produces good. And the evil person, out of the evil treasures, produce evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." So if our heart is good, the words that we speak will be good. If our words are evil, it means our hearts have become bad or diseased. So if your heart is diseased, you must come to Jesus, because he wants to give you a new tree. You can't fix the fruit. You can only fix the tree. Only Jesus can fix the tree. So you'll know by the words that you speak the condition of your heart. Because we speak against people. And we get upset with people and we curse them. And we gossip about people. And we just want to pray about this one brother. But it's the condition of our heart, because we've not forgiven them before God, because of our tree in our hearts. But then Jesus says in verse 46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you?" So what I'm seeing here is the tree produces the fruit, produces an action. So if the tree is good, the words will be good and the actions will become good. But if it's evil, the words will be evil and the actions will be evil as well. And can't we all identify with that? I definitely can. Like Chris Kumbay, my friend. Everyone, verse 47 says, "Everyone who comes to me and bears my words and does them, I will show you what he's like. This man is like the foundation that is laid on a rock for his house. When the tough times come, the house stands. But if he's not like that, when the tough times come, his house gets destroyed." And I've seen that. When people start dying around you, because when Morris died, my friend, he died the Monday morning. Wednesday night, Johan, he's 43 years old. I'm 43 years old. My oldest son's name is Daniel. His oldest son's name was Daniel, 5 years old. He was diagnosed with leukemia. And Thursday, I went to go and pray with him, and he still said to me, "You know, I can't believe about Morris, because last week he found me in Builder's Warehouse and he laid hands on me and he prayed me in front of all those people, but I was so embarrassed, but I was so glad he prayed for me. This man was always very upset with what happened in his previous church and the conspiracy theories. He drove me mad sometimes with those things. And then I took him to this outreach and he came back to me and said, 'Theo, I understand what you're saying. It's about the love. It's about God's love,' because God mightily touched him." The Wednesday night he was diagnosed. Saturday night he died. He was 43 years old. And now it's two funerals. One the Friday, the other one the Saturday. And you cry, like, "God, why is all these things happening? We don't understand. This man, I baptized him, I baptized Petuma." All these people that come into your life, you really come to love them, and suddenly they're just taken away, away like that. And then, you know, for me, in this time, I saw a picture of a tsunami coming, and I realized that when a tsunami comes, because Lynette and I, we went to go and watch this movie. What was it called again? The movie of a tsunami movie, but it was I cried and screamed all the way through. But when this wave came, it's beautiful water, but when it hits the world and the things of the world, it becomes very destructive. And I realized when God pours out his spirit, it's all good when it comes, but it's powerful. But when the condition of our hearts are evil, then it destroys us. The things of the world will destroy us. But if we are open for Christ, if we've laid down our lives, when this wave comes, it's going to be glorious. And the other guy, you know, I don't know if it happens in your church, but always afterwards they come, "I saw this," and then, "Yes, why didn't you tell us when you saw it?" But he also in our church saw this wave coming and someone trying to push it back. And then another lady had a dream where everyone is going to for their cell phones, but this tsunami is coming. Another lady said she saw a tsunami coming, but everyone who had love and love for Christ, their little boat was fine. and they started helping others to get their boats right. But the only way to build this was from the love of Christ, to build the boat. But who, the ones with the boats were fine when the tsunami came. They were saved. So for me, and then the guy, he fasted 7 days, and he came to me. He said to me, he saw Stellenbosch, Franz Hoek, and us, and he saw blue 7 times. And I just believe God is talking to us about the Holy Spirit, but he wants our hearts to be pure, because when the power comes, we cannot have any pride there, because it will destroy us. Ephesians 4 says, verse 29, let no corrupt talking come from our mouths, only things to build up, that it may give grace to the hearers, because we grieve the Holy Spirit. We don't grieve the Holy Spirit because we are religious. We grieve him because of the words that we speak. And I'm just, God, please forgive me. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be away from you, along with all malice. And then verse 32 says, be kind to one another. This is what God wants from us. He wants us to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. As God in Christ forgave you, be imitators of God. Walk in love as Christ loved us, and give us as a fragrant offering to him. Then when you read James, the same thing. He talks about the tongue. I don't want to go into it much, but he says you can't speak blessing and cursing from the same mouth. It cannot come. Water is either salt or it's without salt, fresh water, but it can't be both. So what I'm just realizing from all of this is that God wants fruit in our lives, in all of our lives. When you look at Mark 4:14, Jesus gives a parable of the sower, and then he explains it to the disciples. And he says in verse 14, the sower sows the word. So we sow the word to all of you. We all receive it. And then when people hear, in verse 15, some people hear the word, but Satan comes and immediately takes it away. So nothing happens in them. It's like a seed that falls in the path. But then there's seed that falls on rocky ground. They hear the word, they receive it with joy, but there's no root in them, in themselves. They endure for a while, but when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, they fall away. So the persecution comes on account of the word. And we as charismatics always say, there's sin in his life. He doesn't have faith. But the word says, when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, they fall away. Then verse 18 and 19 says, there are the seed that falls amongst, this is when people hear amongst the thorns, they hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter and choke the word, and they prove unfaithful. So the things of the world become too important to us, and the word gets choked because we don't walk by faith anymore. We don't walk and believe that God is good in everything that he does, and it chokes us, and we prove to be unfruitful. I don't know if it's on the board there. It is. Mark verse 20 says, but those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word, they accept it, and they bear fruit. And the fruit for me is just the love and peace and joy. You can see it in a Christian, the kindness that I didn't have. That still, I'm struggling. I still need God's grace for all of that to bear fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. I really believe God wants us to have a fruit. And the nice thing about fruit is when I give you fruit, you can eat it, you can enjoy it, but it spits and that falls to the ground and it brings more plants and it brings forth more. So my fruit will bless him, but it will also bring a seed to his heart, and that will bring forth a plant, a good plant, that will bring forth fruit that will bless someone else. And this is how all of us get affected by God's good fruit. So I'm going to finish with this, that for me, I realized in Psalm 19 that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to God, because he's the rock and my redeemer. And I've prayed that God comes and clean in me, gives me, creating me a clean heart, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. This one cell group this week went to an outreach in a bar, and the one guy just wanted to go and lead his first guy to Christ in the bar. And Brad was very wise. He said, "No, wait, let God speak to you." And he said, "No." He said, "Just wait. Get comfortable in their surrounding. When they come to our surrounding, that you know how it feels for them when they come into with us, that we make them feel comfortable. Don't feel out of place and go for the kill unless God spoke to you. Go because God has spoken to you." And then they didn't lead anyone to Christ, but the owner of the bar came to them after they started talking, and he says, "You know, it's funny, I'm a Christian as well, and there's many times opportunities that I have to share Christ with people," and they were talking about that. And that was a divine moment. I really believe that we don't go because we want the kill or want the numbers, but we go because of our hearts, because of our hearts are poor, because we connect with God's heart and we represent who God is to people, because God is kind and his kindness leads to repentance. Now, Father, we just want to thank you, Lord God, for Franz Hoek congregation, Lord God. I'm so excited about what I'm just experiencing here, Lord God, the love of Christ in this building, Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that you love every person here so much, Lord. And Father, today, Lord, I just can come and bring, Lord, a message of a seed in their lives, Lord God, that's already been there for a long time, Lord God. But Father, we speak a blessing over this congregation, Lord, over Yanni and Kat. We speak your blessing over them, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, for great things to come, Lord, in their own lives, Lord. You see the blessing of God in everything they do, Lord. I pray that you'll increase them where they work, Lord God, where they live, their families, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, for the communities, Lord, where they live, Lord, the outreaches, Lord, that people will see Jesus in everything they do, Lord God, that great compassion, great love will come, Lord. And Father, I thank you, Lord God, that as in Philip's life, Lord, that he was asked to look, wait at the tables, and then you read about him where he was praying for the sick and healings and miracles happened, and then he led the Ethiopia to the Lord, and he baptized him. And then you read at the end, the evangelist Philip, with his three or four daughters who are prophets and who were virgins, that there's a blessing on this church for eternity, Lord God, where the grandfathers and grandmothers will see the seeds in their grandchildren and their grandchildren's children because of their faithfulness over the years, Lord. Father, I pray and I thank you, Lord God, for the faithfulness of this church, Lord, to stand and to bring your light, the light of Christ, Lord, where they've many times experienced darkness. Jesus, I thank you that you're bigger than all darkness. Where your light is, all darkness flee, in the name of Jesus. But Lord God, I pray today, Lord, that you will come and do a heart in our hearts, Lord. Lord, that you will give us a new heart and a new spirit you will put in us, Lord. And you'll remove the heart of stone from our flesh, and you'll give us a heart of flesh. And you'll put your spirit within us, Lord. And you'll cause us to walk in your statutes and be careful to obey your rules, Lord. And that you will make the fruit of the trees and the increase of the field abundant in our lives. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. If you want prayer, maybe just for because you're sick, if you just need prayer because you're taking tribulation and you feel like your knees are wobbling like this, feels like your heart is in your throat all the time, and when you swallow it, you feel like your heart doesn't beat. And if anyone can identify with that, then I really want to pray with you. If you, maybe you are here and you know your heart needs some renewing because of the words that you've been speaking, I just want to you're more than welcome to come forward if you're shy. Go and pray at home and just bring it before God and say, God, my heart. I know my heart needs to change because the word that I speak is not good. I curse people and I get upset with them and I can't forgive that one person. I'm still angry. I can't forgive, but it's not bitterness, but I'm still upset with that person. If that is in your heart, it means that your heart is broken. And you know, when the Holy Spirit comes, He comes like a wind. When you blow up a ball, a beach ball, when you hit it, it goes in the air and it comes down softly. But if there's a hole in there, if you hit it, it goes up. But later on, when you hit it, it just, nothing happens. If there's a whole emotional hurt, it's like a hole in a beach ball. The Spirit of God leaks out. And if we need healing so that God's Spirit in us can stay there. Some time ago, I was at this course, and when they were talking about the spirit of rejection, there was someone I had in mind, and I realized, oh, they've got all the criteria. And then I went to the cafe quickly to go and buy a Coke and ice cream because my wife wasn't there. Oh, no, I missed it. Now she knows. I'm not allowed to drink coffee, allowed to drink Coke anymore. And as I walked back, I had this funny feeling, and I went to this pastor and I said to him, you know, I wanted to talk to you about someone that I know, but it's me. I've got a spirit of rejection because of all the hurts. And maybe you are here, and this was 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, where someone had to lay hands on me and pray for me. And when they prayed for me, I just realized, oh God, thank you. And God does the work. It's not the prayer. It's not who you are. It's not who comes forward. It's because you come to God. And when you come forward, He comes and He brings healing. Because I don't know where you are at the moment, but I know that God wants to change who you are. So if there's anyone with prayer, I just want to invite you to come forward if we can pray with you. If you don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you're missing out on the best thing of your life, then I definitely want to pray for you because He changed my life completely. So if there's anyone that wants to meet Him this morning, we want to pray with you. Amen. May God bless all of you.